hour, we'll talk to you about your thoughts. And I don't really, I mean, I have thoughts about not having thoughts. I do think that somebody, if you're an individual in sports, should be able to have their own opinion when it comes to religion and your thoughts on the LGBTQ community and perhaps Bud Light. Everybody's entitled to an opinion, but apparently you're not entitled to an opinion to say that that person you disagree with, because it's about free speech, but not your free speech to disagree with that person. We'll talk about that later on with an advocate for the LGBTQ community in sports. Also, how close is Windsor getting to signing a deal with the federal government and Stellantis on that battery plant? We'll find out in 15 minutes' time. But straight ahead, it is our friend Chris Lewis on a sad day for the OPP. He, of course, is the former OPP commissioner and current public safety analyst for this very broadcast. What broadcast is this? Well, let's just listen and find out.
The reason auto manufacturers are taking AM radios out of cars. Jim Richards and News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I don't know if it's entirely outdated, but Ford backed off. The mighty power of all of the people who were mad and willing to stand up for hearing things on AM radio, like what you're listening to right now, me. Ford has bowed to that pressure. Thank you very much, Ford. Terrible story on the streets. A police officer and a school bus driver both died after a collision near Woodstock. And I've seen the video footage on our sister station, CTV and CP24 in Toronto. I don't know how, well, nobody survived, but it's odd to me that the bus looks like it did worse than the car, but it's a terrible story. An OPP officer by the name of Stephen Tarango has lost his life. Let's find out, let's talk about this a little bit with Chris Lewis, who is a public safety analyst and former OPP commissioner. This is always a sad day, I guess, Chris.
Absolutely, Jim. It's very sad. It's, you know, more police officers certainly get killed in car crashes than by gunfire. Unfortunately, we've seen a whole pile killed by gunfire in the last 10 months. But here's another one, you know, another reminder of the reality of spending hours and hours on the roads and highways as a police officer. And you know, my thoughts go out to all the officers, their families, and of course the family of the both deceased individuals.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to try to is in a rush to really kind of find out who's to blame. But some of these rural roads can kind of get really boring to drive, and some of them you would assume should be all four-way stops. But I guess that's a discussion for another day.
Well, for sure. And of course, it is being investigated, yeah. And the London police are doing it. The OPP commissioner asked them to do it on the OPP's behalf, just to have that independent look. And they'll come up with, you know, who was at fault, or was it an equipment issue, or was it a road issue, or whatever. They always do. And then, of course, issues like you're mentioning around county roads, and, you know, kind of fairly desolate, and it's like the 401 in Eastern Ontario. It's pretty easy to kind of get lulled into a bit of a trance. It's not an excuse for anybody, of course, but sometimes those are factors in collisions.
Witnesses, or at least people in the area, commenting to CTV News earlier today that it's a dangerous intersection, but as Chris said, that will all come out in the investigation. I wonder, Chris, when you're the commissioner, have you had to make phone calls or talk to family members? How difficult is that?
Very difficult. I never had to notify a family member of an OPP officer that was killed, but I had a number of officers killed in the line of duty under my command. A couple in Eastern Ontario within months, both officers or people I knew that died in collisions. One was in the chase, and the other, actually, it was his fault. The other officer actually did a U-turn in front of a tractor trailer, and that he had just passed. So you know, he made a mistake and it cost him his life. But both cases, I knew the individual and had to meet with the families and on and on. Very, very difficult times for everybody concerned. So you try your best to support them and be there for them, including the officers from the detachment. Tough times for sure.
In another story, Stony Creek, part of Hamilton, a standoff with an individual who apparently owned guns legally. He had shot two of his tenants in the back. It is alleged, apparently, over arguments over conditions of the apartment. Here are some onlookers who described what happened.
My husband and I looked at each other, and I said, was that gunshots? And he said, yes. He said, get away from the window.
I heard some loud bangs. I thought it was like someone hitting something with a sledgehammer. The ambulance came, and I looked outside, and those people were lying on the ground.
A reporter from CHCH-TV told his own network or his own channel this.
All of a sudden, we started hearing the bullets just whizzing. It was like the, you know, the a crack and then a whiz over our heads. And the police said, get down.
Yeah, so they're standing with the police officers. That made me initially think, how is that secured when you're within, I guess anybody can be, if you're media, anybody can be within shots range of somebody, but pretty scary stuff there. Chris, have you ever had to participate in a standoff like that? This went on for over four hours.
Yeah, Jim, many. I spent a number of years a member of the Tactics and Rescue Unit in the OPP, which is like ETF in Toronto. And so that was our business, barricaded persons, hostage situations, and I did that full time for a number of years. And you know, one of the big issues around this, and I'm only kind of going by what I'm reading in the paper and seeing on the news, but, you know, he was shooting at their armored vehicle. Mm. Why was the armored vehicle within sight? You contain these things and you get people all out of range. So they're behind cover, behind buildings, behind vehicles, etc. So it sounds kind of odd to me the way it has unfolded, but SIU is investigating.
Yeah.
But terrible tragedy. Two young people killed by their landlord. Jeez, I mean, you hear about bad tenants, but I guess obviously there's the odd bad landlord out there.
Sure. So you would, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the SIU, which for people outside of Ontario, that's the policing that polices the police that will look into whenever a police officer discharges a weapon, essentially might have to use force, then the SIU come in. So part of the investigation would be, hey, why are reporters saying again this?
All of a sudden, we started hearing the bullets just whizzing. It was like the, you know, the a crack and then a whiz over our heads. And the police said, get down.
Again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Chris, but I was thinking, well, what the hell are the reporters even allowed anywhere near there?
No, they shouldn't be. I mean, there's an inner perimeter, as they call it, where nobody's allowed except the tactical officers. And then outer perimeters where, you know, it's more of a protected zone, but certainly that isn't contained within line of sight for somebody with a gun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, SIU will be looking at what led to this officer being killed. Did the police force his hand in some way as opposed to contain, isolate, and negotiate?
Yeah.
And I'm not being critical at all because I don't know the facts, but that's something they will look at in determining did the police do something criminal. And that itself might not be, but it certainly might be a policy issue that the police would have to deal with, not the SIU.
Yeah. Chris, thank you very much for your time. Interesting conversation. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. Anytime.
Chris Lewis is our public safety analyst with CTV and the iHeart Talk Radio Network, and also former commissioner of the OPP. And our thoughts are out to all of the OPP family, including the family and friends of Steve Tarango, who is the officer whose life was taken in that tragic car accident. When we come back, we'll try to get down to the nitty-gritty and what are we hearing within the negotiations between Stellantis and the government, specifically the government of Canada. How close are they? Are we perhaps looking at a deal being announced within the next couple of days? That conversation is next. I'm Jim Richards. This is the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Here's your host, Jim Richards.
We're back on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. In a bit, we're going to take your phone calls on if anybody has an opinion on whether or not somebody who is in the public eye, if they have an opinion that might be counter to the majority of people in the public, whether or not there should be any kind of retribution. Should the Blue Jays do anything? If Anthony Bass, who's a pitcher for the team, shares a video that is basically saying, hey, he supports the boycott of Bud Light and also of Target. Should that be on the radar of anybody, or should we all mind our own business and people are allowed to have opinions that are legally protected and aren't necessarily ones that, I don't know, are they hateful? I would argue that they could be very hateful to people. But we'll get to that coming up in about 15 minutes time. But first, we're into negotiations right now with the government and also Stellantis. Provincial and federal governments are trying to come together to keep both of the plants running in Windsor, Ontario. We thought we'd get a better lay of the land with the digital and mobile editor of Automotive News Canada. His name is Greg Lacing. Greg, thank you very much for your time. Is Greg there?
I am.
How are you, Greg?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Where are we right now within the negotiations? Are you hearing anything?
Yeah, I heard earlier today, and the Toronto Star just posted a story moments ago that Stellantis has made a counteroffer and might not want as much government subsidy as first thought. I heard that this morning. There are two different credits, one worth $35 per hour. I know that's a bit confusing for the listeners, but there's two credits, one worth $35, one worth $10. And I heard Stellantis is willing to accept five versus $10. The Toronto Star reporting that they're looking for less money, but they don't really have a figure. But that's where we're at. I don't think Stellantis pulls the plug on this quite yet. I think we actually get a deal that is done and the entire facility is built as planned.
Could you explain to people what that money means? Because it sounds like, why are we arguing? It's a huge plan. We're arguing about $5 or $10, but that's really billions of dollars, right?
Correct, because it's based on production. So the more you produce, the more money you get. And there are two different things to be produced at the battery factory. There are cells, which someone explained to me as picture beer bottles,
yep,
and modules, which you can picture as a case. So you need 24 or 6 or 12 to go in a case. And so there are subsidies for two different things because you can ship those cells elsewhere to be packaged in a case. And so there are two different subsidies for two different things. And initially, the federal government had said, we would give you the $35 for the cells, and now they want $10 for the modules as well. And that has been the stumbling block over the last almost 3 weeks.
So we've heard that perhaps you'd get the cells, but you wouldn't get the modules. What you're hearing now is that it looks like they're getting closer to being able to deliver on both of those things.
That's correct. And that is the huge win for Ontario, because if those cells are not packaged in Windsor in those modules, they will be done. That will be done in Michigan. That makes it harder for those to get back to the factory in Brampton, Ontario, and could force Stellantis to move product from Brampton to the U.S., where it's easier to get the finished batteries to the vehicles. So really, Windsor was in jeopardy of losing the module production, which is about 300 jobs, but the assembly plant there would be fine. It's Brampton's assembly plant that would be affected if the modules went elsewhere, and that could be losses in the thousands, about 3,000 at the actual factory, and I'm told about 12,000 tied to that Brampton factory through the parts supply chain.
Okay. But on the face of it, when we're talking, it sounds like it's a pretty easy negotiation to get to and a pretty easy place to get to. Of course, I'm not in the boardroom and I'm hearing you describe it in an eye-level manner. What is taking so long?
Well, I think what's taking so long is the lack of detail in the initial negotiations between the federal government and Stellantis. Everyone knew the Inflation Reduction Act, which we're trying to match, those $35 and $10 incentives are in the U.S. piece of legislation, and we're trying to match that. But all the Liberal government told Stellantis is, we'll level the playing field, we'll close the gap, we'll match U.S. rates. But they never really came to terms with an actual number. They kind of kicked that can down the road, and then Stellantis started building. And then we saw St. Thomas get a Volkswagen battery plant and get full matching incentives to the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. And Stellantis said, hey, what about us? We're coming now for you to match. It's time to match. And because there wasn't really strong language, as I understand it, between the company and the government, this is how we got here. They're now haggling over the price.
And what are your thoughts on the reasons why Stellantis might be softening on what they're asking for? Do they feel, especially in the Windsor community, is there a pushback on them of making the Stellantis look bad for wanting to renegotiate?
No, I don't think so. I think what you're seeing is an automaker that already had plans to build electrified product in Brampton, electrified product in Windsor, and those batteries were supposed to come from Windsor, and we are so far down the road in terms of construction and retooling those two factories in Ontario that they really can't get out of finishing construction of the battery plant in Windsor. That's why I envision Stellantis coming up a little bit, or coming down a little bit, and the federal government coming up a little bit, and everyone can say they won. The federal government will say they saved the jobs. Stellantis will tell its shareholders it got more money from the government. Everyone can come together, put their arms around each other at a news conference and say, we saved all of these jobs, the factories, and the plan for the company, and everyone comes out looking like a winner.
And how early is that press conference, would you expect?
I actually thought it was going to be Friday of last week, so I'm thinking within a couple days now. We had the Memorial Day holiday in the United States.
Yep.
Stellantis is headquartered in Italy, so there's a few things that have to come together. It's not easy to get this all done in short notice, but I would expect by the end of this week, if not before Friday, we hear that everything is hunky-dory and we're off and running and building batteries and getting ready to build electric vehicles in Ontario.
Greg, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
That is Greg Lason. He's the digital and mobile editor at Automotive News Canada, with good news, hopefully, in the next couple of days for everybody who is in Windsor. And, of course, this iHeart radio station, the one that you're listening to right now, will be all over it. We will be following it and actually stalking it, is the way we do things around here. Not just following, but stalking. Okay, later on, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about my, I don't know, a lot of people are texting, Jim, you sound down. Yeah, because $20,000, folks, on my credit card, because I didn't look at it in 2.5 weeks. I didn't look at my credit card in 2.5 weeks. We had a good variety of people text in when I asked how often you look at your credit card statements. A lot of people do it online. I'm still a little old school, and I'll go through it from time to time when the paper bill comes in, and I'll be like, okay, I got to get a little bit better at that. I got to like pay more often rather than just one chunk at the end of the month. But as I said, and I just phoned the company before I went on the air tonight, I phoned the company where somebody has been buying like farming and construction equipment. Anywhere from 15 to 17 transactions that totaled just under $20,000. And one person said to me, wait a second, you don't look at your credit card statement? And I go, yeah, I just did like 2.5 weeks ago. But I wouldn't have noticed if I didn't get a text message that said, you're about $100 from maxing out your credit card. And I thought the other day, I was like, wait a second. Because they keep on raising my, they have this thing where they raise your limit. And it's one of those default things, like they'll raise your limit unless you tell them otherwise. And I haven't told them otherwise. So that's one thing I'm here to tell you. Make sure that your limit isn't $18,000. And also apparently check your credit card a little bit more often. And I'm freaking out is what I'm doing, folks. Just freaking out.
This is News Talk Tonight. with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Just north of Toronto is York Region, and the York Region District Catholic School Board is having a meeting tonight to find out whether or not they think it's a good idea to fly the Pride flag. I think it's the Pride Progress flag, or is it? Yeah, it's the Pride Progress flag. And do we have any audio of that, of the last meeting that went sideways? I forgot to ask for it, but let's play that before we're done here this half hour. We've had this conversation before about school boards and public money and viewing all people equally. But what is really interesting is that people will say, you know what? I do treat all people equally. I don't discriminate. I just don't want this shoved down my throat. And you're allowed to have that that opinion. But, you know, it kind of doesn't pay any attention to all of the facts, which are, you know, the high rates of suicide when people can't be themselves and are bullied, those are realities. So letting people know by flying a flag which strikes inclusivity, and you're told by the, hey, we hate the sin, not the sinner, then why aren't you embracing the inclusivity? Why not fly the flag? This is a bit of that meeting, same meeting a couple of weeks ago, going sideways when a Catholic teacher from a different school board was advocating for raising the flag at the York Catholic School Board because that's where his kid goes.
Dirty man.
Devil incarnate. You can wear it all you want.
The work of Jesus is being done there by some real Christian-like people who have not found the love of Jesus' teachings, is what I'd say. Let's bring that to baseball. Why not? Anthony Bass is a Blue Jay pitcher. Some people are throwing shade on him. That's right. They're throwing shade on him for sharing this video.
Biblically, why I believe Christians ought to be boycotting Target and Bud Light and any
it's
other
a Christian thing to do. I mean, it's all over the boy. Wait a second. Aren't these the guys who were like against cancel culture? But now, hey, why not? Well, they were the originators of it. And as far as I can see, going back to the moral majority being mad at TV shows. But let's hear from somebody who has fought all of these battles. His name is Brock McGillis. He is an advocate for the LGBTQ community in the sports world. And I asked him for his thoughts on this Toronto Blue Jay pitcher and this story.
I mean, based off everything that's going on in the U.S. and trickling into Canada and on social media, really not that surprising. I'm just surprised it took this long for somebody to share that viewpoint.
It's interesting to me because I'm guessing that if I interview you maybe 2 years ago, you would be very happy with the progress that has been made in this front, especially with sports, where I'm guessing young people have a more difficult time in the locker room coming out to other people of their sex or of an opposite sex, whatever the case may be. So how are you feeling right now with maybe the goalpost had been moving along with enlightenment and inclusion, and now where do you think we are?
I always thought we were here, to be honest with you. I wouldn't have said there was progress 2 years ago. I think the progress would have been in terms of visibility, and visibility isn't inclusion.
Yeah.
And I think there's a misconception that it is in society, that if we just shove rainbows on everything and throw them around one day or 1 month, a year, that we're being inclusive when we're not being intolerant of bigotry. And I think that is the bigger picture, is that there is so much of this that is existing, and it's complete misinformation and based off such lies and inaccuracies, yeah, and fear mongering, and you know, like it's such candidly, BS.
Interesting that you would say that, because I was going to ask, because I forget who said it. I think it might have been Brian Burke when James Reimer decided that he wouldn't wear a Pride jersey for the Edmonton Oilers during a pre-skate. That the idea that when James Reimer says, listen, I have nothing against these people, but it's against my religion, and kind of invoking the BS, I hate the sin, not the sinner. But that's kind of the point of the, you know, showing up and wearing like what a jersey or a T-shirt that might have pride colors. It's that if you don't agree because of your religion, the wearing of the shirt is to say, yeah, everybody's welcome here. So when these guys are saying, well, they're welcome here, I just don't support it because of my religion. Well, you're actually saying that they're not welcome here.
Yeah, and I think let's take it a step further. I mean, throwing rainbows on your, you know, J-sweater or whatever is, you know, a symbol, a gesture. But I think there's more impactful ways to show that you're welcome here, even more importantly than showing fans would be teammates who may be closeted, because the odds are there's closeted gay, bi, or trans people in that locker room. And I think shifting attitudes, behaviors, humanizing the issues is step number one to me. We need to have those conversations. We need to have people understand impact.
Yeah.
And it comes from lived experience in those spaces. If we start there and then we work towards education and guiding them, you can have faith. I mean, I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic school. I've been in Catholic school my whole life.
Yep.
My mom goes to church weekly. Like, you can have faith and not be anti-LGBTQ+. Furthermore, to the comments Bass made or posted about, I've never seen Jesus talk about Bud Light or Target in the Bible, and I went to Catholic school my whole life.
Wait a second, Bud Light's not in the Bible? It's a good...
Believe it or not, it's not there. I think he talked about wine.
Yeah, that is a good point, a very good point. Soon somebody will be banning wine. Thank you very much for doing that. It's interesting, too, though, because I think a lot of people would be, well, are you against his freedom of speech? Does everybody have to be on the same page and nobody can be an individual any longer? What would you say to that? Because I would always like, hey, man, have that. Do whatever you want with your freedom of speech. It's just that people are going to, guess what, also have freedom of speech and speak out against you. So what is your point? I don't get what your point is.
Well, and here's the dilemma of freedom of speech. It's like, this is where I laugh at cancel culture. It's like, you have the freedom to say what you want and do what you want. You can be homophobic. I'm never going to, in reality, even in the work I do, I might get people to like critically think, but I'm never going to fully erase somebody's homophobia if they're overtly and staunchly, you know, the goal is to get them to think and think like really our queer people's existence, are rainbows turning people gay?
Yeah.
Are books turning people gay?
No. Or grooming people, which is the new thing. I mean,
grooming, well, that's, yeah, we're pedophilia is back. You know, like if you look at studies of grooming or pedophilia and who actually does it, it's not gays. You know, I think it's 99.9% straight men. There's some crazy number like that. So when you look at all this and if we really break it down, we start critically thinking of like, what is your fear? What is your concern? Because we've always existed and we will always exist. And if grooming was possible, I would be very straight. I grew up in these hyper-masculine professional sports spaces. You know, I've been in those locker rooms since I was 6 or 7 and I'm gay.
Brock McGillis is with us. We'll continue that conversation in a second. I just want to say I don't know where that stat comes from. So I don't 100% endorse it, but I don't think the gist of it is wrong. And your phone calls at 1-855-633-1010. Back in a moment here on News Talk Tonight.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and News Talk Tonight continues with Jim Richards.
I'm going to get some thoughts from you on this story at 1-855-633-1010. This story kind of goes hand in hand what's going on just north of Toronto tonight. There is a meeting at the Catholic School Board in York Region to determine whether or not they should be raising the pride flag as they accept taxpayer money from every person in this province that may or may not agree with teachings of the Catholic Church. The Catholic School Board exists. It would be a difficult move. Like, nobody's ever going to do it because as an election issue, it probably doesn't help you a hell of a lot. Heck of a lot. Sorry, folks. So I doubt that it would ever be removed. And we just have one big happy school board in the province of Ontario and other provinces where you'll find a Catholic school board. I doubt you'll be able to ever get rid of it. But I don't know, when it's about being seen to welcome all people and treat all people equally, I think it is very important. And here's what happened in Ontario. The education minister came out and said, yeah, you should fly pride flags. That's great. That's fantastic. But he didn't put any, you know, anything behind that. He didn't say, you know what, we might have a different funding. I don't know how you can threaten them. I'm not sure that you necessarily could, but his words had no consequences. So on this issue where we have some people who are freaking out because one of the Blue Jays pitchers, Anthony Bass, has just shared a video where somebody is basically saying, yeah, you know what I found in the Bible? What did you find in the Bible? You can make the Bible say whatever the hell you want it to say, but he thinks that he found in the Bible the what?
Here's the reason biblically why I believe Christians ought to be boycotting Target and Bud Light and any other corporation.
Yeah, right up pushing the teachings of Jesus. He found something in the Old Testament, which is amazing to me. The Old Testament is the basically the Jewish Bible. Why isn't anybody in the Jewish faith as mad as some of these people are? So Brock McGillis, again, is an advocate. He is a former hockey player. He is an advocate for people in the LGBTQ community. And I asked him, I essentially said, like, wait a second, you have been, because this is the thing, that people see the pride flag, I guess it you become gay after that? And I don't know. Why are we having this thing? Why are we being told that people should be equal? Why is that being shoved down our throat, huh? Why are you guys telling us all the time that everybody should be treated equally? Why are you shoving that down our throat, huh? So the point is that, wait a second, if you've seen in most of your life until maybe the last 10 years, these symbols of acceptance, pride flags, and you've only seen things that make people straight, then why aren't gay people straight? Like, why, if the thinking is that seeing these gay symbols makes people gay or normalizes acceptance, can't have that if you're following the teachings of Jesus, obviously. Why can't the opposite be true, that if you're seeing straight things all your life, why aren't you straight? That's what I asked Brock McGillis.
Society is built for straight people, which is fine. They're the majority of the people. It makes sense. But the reality is, if that's the case, then there would be no gay or trans or bisexuality or any other group within the LGBTQ+. And then even, you know, beyond that, I remember, like, I spoke to a Catholic school board and told their teachers on a PD day. And this woman came up to me, and she was probably in her early 70s at the end. And she goes, Brock, that was lovely. Thank you. And I'm like, oh, thanks so much. She goes, yeah, my son's gay. He just came out. He's 50. And I went, oh, wow.
Wow.
She's like, yeah, I tell him I love him, but he's going to hell.
Oh, boy.
And then I went, okay, oh, okay. She goes, but at least I talked to him. His brother doesn't talk to him.
Oh, boy.
Like we've been pushed into the closet. And then, so I had a conversation with her, and I think this is half the point is, you know, if we start humanizing issues, so I looked at her, and having a background faith and growing up in faith, I just said to her, I said, well, you know, I remember learning that when you die, you go, God decides who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Would you agree? She said, yes. I said, are you God?
Yeah.
And she said, no. I said, well, why are you doing God's work? That's God's job.
Yeah.
And then I said, the other thing I remember learning is he without sin cast the first stone. And I said, but we're all born sinners. So the whole premise is that we don't judge anyone else on this planet, that we don't weaponize our faith to other people, and we don't judge them. Yet here we are.
It is a very good point. And also, I find it something that people are concerned, as you were pointing out before, people are concerned that grooming is happening as if people who are in the LGBTQ community are predators. Well, no, let's make no mistake about it. With where you want to put this situation with these dumb movements like getting mad at Bud Light and Target, what you want is not predators. You're turning people into prey. You're turning them into victims again. You're turning them back to society of bullying and people being closeted and suicide rates. That's what you're doing. And that doesn't sound to be Jesus's work either.
And candidly, I've personally seen the impact. I mean, usually Pride Month, I have schools lining up to have me in. This year's been quiet.
Interesting.
I just watched an interview with a really famous drag queen in the U.S. who said, you know, the brands aren't calling this year. Everyone's afraid.
Everyone's afraid.
And it just takes, like, we just need to have some real life conversations and stop listening to falsehoods and fallacies. Like, no, like, honestly, and this whole, like, if we go, you know, the grooming, a lot of it's towards drag queens. And I look at it and go, like, most drag queens I know don't like kids, don't want to be around kids. Their shows are for adults. The end. If they do kid shows, they do it towards kids. It's no different than television.
Yeah.
Kids shows for kids on TV. Their shows for adults on TV.
Yeah. Brock, listen, Brock, yeah. Thank you very much. I'm sorry we're out of time. I appreciate your insight. So take some phone calls right now, 1-855-633-1010. Again, this conversation for two reasons. Today, just north of Toronto, a Catholic school board is trying to determine whether or not they're going to raise the Pride flag. And one of the Blue Jay pitchers has shared a video that has people coming for him because he apparently is supporting a guy saying that it's the right thing to do to boycott Bud and Target. Here is Peter in Montreal. Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just like to say, based on the Catholic faith, okay, you know, Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor, love everybody. Yep. Where's the love in judging? There is no love.
There is none.
In judging and dividing people. Secondly, as Catholics, we, based on our faith, we should not judge.
Yep.
Totally, based on the history of the Catholic Church, we're in no position to judge.
Thank you very much for the phone call, Peter.
That's
appreciate it.
Bye.
I would agree with that, but I also don't necessarily think that it should be all fire and brimstone against somebody who may have a popular or unpopular opinion. What should the Jays do with Anthony Bass? My answer to that would be nothing. I'm Jim Richards. This is News Talk Tonight.